Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm guessing that many of you know what a guillotine is, and maybe the youngest among you who don't know what that is, maybe you can wait a little while to find out about it. But those of you who know what it is, I'm sure you can picture that instrument of execution in your mind, the stockade with a large hanging blade suspended above it, used to very efficiently carry out execution by beheading. Picture that machine of death in your mind. And now imagine if instead of a cross on display here in front of our church, we had a giant guillotine on display. That would be disgusting, you might think. Why would we put such a gruesome instrument of execution on display in front of this house of worship? Well, think about the cross. Although the cross has become such a widely used symbol, even used as a decoration by people who don't even believe in Jesus as their Savior, wearing it on a necklace or perhaps getting it tattooed on their body, yet the cross was an instrument of death. And in many ways, a far worse and more gruesome instrument of death than a guillotine was. The guillotine was actually specially designed to be a more humane way of execution, only requiring one drop of that sharp, heavy blade to kill the person, whereas a cross was specially designed to be an especially excruciating, agonizing way of execution, requiring a long time of agony for the person was being crucified before they finally succumbed to death. The Apostle Paul tells in our reading that many of those early first century and in the centuries that followed thereafter, many of those first hearers of the gospel message were actually repelled, disgusted by the message of the cross. Just as similarly as we would be if there was a giant guillotine on display here in front of our church. When the apostles of Jesus went out to bring the message about Jesus to the people of their homeland and of the surrounding lands and countries, even though they may not have had physical crosses with them as symbols in the places where they preached, yet through their preaching, they placed the cross of Jesus as the focal point, at least in the mind's eye of their hearers. Now, you would think that the Jews, the Jewish people, pious people who knew the prophecies that God gave through the prophets of the Old Testament about the Savior that God had promised, those prophecies that described the Savior as one who would be a suffering servant, as the prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 53, one who would be pierced for our transgressions. You would think that the Jews would be among the first who would want to hear that message. But instead, as Paul writes, so many of them turned away in disgust. Don't talk to us about something as gruesome and as shameful as a cross, we can imagine that they might have said or at least thought. If you want us to pay attention to you, then prove to us that you really are from God. Show us some kind of miraculous sign, some proof, just as Moses did way back when God used him to part the waters of the Red Sea and lead those millions of Israelites through on dry ground. Crosses stand for weakness and death and humiliation. Our God is a God of life and power and strength. But get away from us with all this business about a cross. It will never amount to anything. There's still people in the world who think like that, aren't there? Here we are in 2021 talking again about the cross. gathering here in this worship space that has a giant cross up in the front. Singing about the cross, reading about the cross, and yet life pretty much goes on the way it always has. Even people who completely ignore the cross of Jesus manage to scrape by somehow in life, and very often the ones who spend a lot of time talking about the cross still do foolish things, still do things that hurt other people, and really outwardly sometimes seem to be no better, sometimes even worse, than everybody else who pays no attention to the cross. Go out on the street corner and ask Mr. Average Joe out there what he thinks about the cross of Jesus, and he'll probably look at you with such a blank stare and really not have much to say, and you'll get the message loud and clear what he thinks about the cross. The cross doesn't appear to be making much of an impact at all on the world around us. So it's no wonder that the Apostle Paul writes in the verses of our reading that Jews ask for signs, for miraculous signs. And who can blame them? The cross apparently isn't really doing much at all. So let's spend some time thinking about something that makes a bit more sense. The Greeks, the term used to refer to any really of the non-Jewish people of the Mediterranean region to whom Paul preached at that time, well, they thought that talking about something more wise and rational than a savior dying on a cross would be the way to go. They preferred to get together for lectures and for debates about the great issues of their day. Now, although the particular topics of interest and of discussion among them would be different than those that are widely discussed among us today, we can imagine that if they were alive today, they would have been much more interested to talk about politics or about the pandemic rather than hearing about an unfortunate guy named Jesus who got caught in the wrong place at the wrong time and was nailed to a cross. What does the cross have to do with us? Those Greek philosophers would have wondered. And the big movers and shakers of our world today express that same attitude quite openly. Some of them say rather bluntly, asserting that the Bible's message is now irrelevant to us in such a scientifically advanced and rationally enlightened era as ours today. Dear Christian friend, do you realize that much of our civilized world today thinks that your faith is irrelevant? And since we're surrounded by that prevailing attitude so much in our society today, that idea can start to rub off on us too. Even though you may have been a Christian for a long time, perhaps you don't always still pay very much attention to the cross of Christ. As we see the challenges of the world around us, we usually don't immediately think about the cross of Christ as the solution to those challenges. Rather, we think about so many other numerous factors that we think will be able to solve all of those worldly problems. A man named Saul once thought in that way. He was convinced that the cross of Jesus was a silly, disgusting thing to have as the focal point of your faith. Everybody knows, he would have thought, that God wants us to read and study his laws, to become better people, to do our very best to obey all of God's laws. And so in that way, we will change the world. But God didn't see it that way. God could have argued and reasoned with Saul to convince him to change his way of thinking, but he didn't do that. He just let Saul come face to face one day with Jesus. Jesus, who had died on the cross. And then all of a sudden, in an instant, the truth dawned on pious Saul. And so we see in our reading today what Paul later wrote. Jews ask for signs, Greeks desire wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, which is offensive to Jews and foolishness to Greeks. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Yeah, some people would like to see God prove himself with a big splash, with miraculous signs and wonders that will attract the attention of many people. Others want God to make perfect sense and to be perfectly rationable and understandable on their own terms and what they view to be most important and understandable. And God could do all those things if he wanted to, but he gets to people in a different way, in his way, by calling them, as the Apostle Paul writes here. God, through his word, brings people face to face with Jesus who died on the cross. And through God's word, all of a sudden that one who once seemed apparently so weak, so unfortunate, now begins to take on a whole different appearance. The one who seemed to be so irrelevant to solving the challenges and the problems of this present day, actually we see does have all the answers to all of the problems that we face. The question, the greatest question, of how sinful people like us can be reconciled with a holy, almighty God. The answer to that question is that God is willing to wipe clean the slate of sinful people like us because of the work of his son Jesus on the cross, to remove our wrongdoings as far as the east is from the west. If God put great value on winning arguments, perhaps God would have spent all of his time proving how strong he is and how relevant he is. But he's not interested just in winning arguments. He really wants to be king and lord of your heart, just as he was in the hearts of Adam and Eve in the beginning, in that perfect creation. God wants to knock down every obstacle that stands between you and himself in a harmonious relationship with you. He wants you to be his child. He wants you to look to him in faith and trust for every good thing in life. And he wants you to be his and to be with him for all eternity. That is why we gather together in this Lenten season under the shadow of the cross. The cross is God's way of grasping a hold of us as hard as he can while he shouts with a big, bold, and unmistakable, "I still love you." There's no way that I can argue you into believing that. But as you look upon a man who never did anything wrong, hanging there in agony on the cross, forgiving his executioners and those who were standing around mocking him, taking time to bring comfort to one who was dying next to him, making arrangements for the well-being of his mother, you realize that this Jesus is God himself, come down to us here on this earth in human form. And then it begins to dawn on us how far God was willing to go, how deeply God was willing to bend down, how much he was prepared to give up himself so that he could be your Savior and your friend. In this Lenten season, God is presenting his son Jesus to you again. Even though people from time to time have thought of the cross as something disgusting, as something foolish, just as foolish and disgusting as we would consider a guillotine on our altar to be, on the last day of your life in this world, impressive miracles and wise philosophical arguments will not really have very much to offer to you. But Jesus, who was thought by so many people to be so weak and so irrelevant, standing there before you with open arms, with his nail-scarred hands. He will really be for you in that moment the power of God and the wisdom of God. Since he has opened the gate of heaven, the gate of eternal paradise to you by his suffering and death. But you also don't have to wait until that moment, until your deathbed, to benefit from everything that the cross of Jesus has to offer. His cross is a great help for you now, no matter who you are and what your situation in life is. When you find yourself plagued by guilt over things that you can never undo, the things that people of this world call power and wisdom will not be of very much help to you at all. But the cross of Jesus, as you see Jesus there on the cross, you will see that God holds nothing against you. When you feel terribly alone and wonder if anyone on the face of the earth could possibly care about you, the stuff that you see in TV and in the movies won't really do very much to cheer you up. But Jesus on the cross will show you that you have a Savior who knows from experience exactly what you are going through. His cross can show you so incredibly much. From it, you can learn the awfulness of sin and also the depth of God's love for you. You can learn about the lengths that God was willing to go to for you and for your salvation. Our God took the biggest tragedy in all of human history, in all of the history of the world, and turned it into the greatest victory that we could ever have imagined. And that same cross of Jesus can also help you to build bridges to the people around you in your life. The cross of Jesus helps us to see other people with the eyes that our God and Savior sees us. Your neighbor, your friend, your relative now appears to you not just as another person, not strangers don't appear as random people who have no connection to us, but everyone we know is someone whom God dearly loves, for whom he was willing to give up his own son to death in order to save. So that helps us to see each and every person with that same love and compassion that God sees them. Think again about a guillotine. A guillotine on our altar. Life and power coming through a cross, an instrument of gruesome torture and execution. Can you imagine that? Not on your own, you can't. It's foolishness. It's shameful. It's disgusting. But in God's plan, it is wisdom and power. It's the way that God brought about our eternal salvation. The cross of Jesus is still the biggest and most powerful force in the whole world. Grab a hold of it and bring others to it.